So then also take the following words to heart. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Now, this morning we'll also turn to our scripture readings, which will be part confession, part scripture reading. As we continue through the Heidelberg Catechism, we will turn to Lord's Day 30. So we're going through the catechism. We are getting closer and closer to that third part on our thankfulness and the new life that we ought to live. So we'll also draw that out this morning. So we'll turn to Lord's Day 30, which you can find in the back of your Book of Praise on page 545. And so it's the last Lord's Day on the Lord's Supper. The Heidelberg Catechism asks the following: what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Papal Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us first that we have complete forgiveness of all our sins through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which He Himself accomplished on the cross once for all. And second, that through the Holy Spirit we are grafted into Christ, who with His true body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and this is where He wants to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches first, that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the suffering of Christ unless He is still offered for them daily by the priests. And second, that Christ is bodily present in the form of bread and wine and there is to be worshipped. Therefore, the Mass is basically nothing but a denial of the one sacrifice and suffering of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. Who are to come to the table of the Lord? Those who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their life. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Are those also to be admitted to the Lord's Supper who by their confession and life show that they are unbelieving and ungodly? No, for then the covenant of God would be profaned and His wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and His apostles, the Christian church is duty-bound to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven until they amend their lives. Let's now turn to our scripture reading, which will come from the first letter of John, chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 4, we'll read verses 7 through 21, end of the chapter. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So far, the word of God for us this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you've probably heard the saying before, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Now you could go really deep on that in a real true biological way that may even make biological sense in the fact that whatever you eat is broken down and transformed into energy or building material that you need for your cells. But I mean, that's usually not quite what people mean by that saying. More general idea is something like, to be healthy, you have to eat healthy. Because you are what you eat. Or the reverse, that if you eat junk all the time, well, don't be surprised that you feel like junk as well. That in general, that there's a connection between our diet and our lifestyle. I mean, fair enough, many of us have also, probably a good chunk of our lives, maybe eaten whatever and done whatever, and there seems to be no connection, but there comes a time when you're like, yeah, no, there is a connection there. And when we realize that, we realize also we have to make decisions. What is your diet going to look like? What is your lifestyle going to look like? And often enough, there may be food that's easy, quick, and tasty, but not always that healthy. And you realize that, yeah, you may eat that, but pay for it in some way after the fact. But that there may be food that is healthy, but you're like, oh, it's green, and it's not really the greatest food, and it takes time to prep. So it takes an effort for all of us to in some way line up our diet with the way that we want to live. Because of that saying, you are what you eat. And this morning I want to consider if there is a spiritual truth to this saying as well. Could we spiritually say as well that you are what you eat? Those who maybe were here a couple weeks ago, we studied the Heidelberg Catechism and we took the time to study our need for solid, life-giving nutrition also in our spiritual life. Just as we need food for our physical life, so we need food, nourishment for our spiritual lives. And with Scripture, as it's mentioned in John 6, we concluded that Jesus is the only food and drink for our spiritual life. And if you were here last week, we went over that again. Jesus himself said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If that is our diet, if that is our food and drink, What is the connection to our spiritual life? What does our spiritual diet say about our spiritual lifestyle? Now, the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper will touch on this when we read it. And it brings it down to some ways into that essence, the contours, the handbook of what life is meant to be as God has revealed it. To love God, all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. A perfect summary of the law. But it's also more than a perfect summary of all of God's commandments. It's also the very essence of Jesus' own life. That new life that he then also imparts to us. We confess that he imparts that to us by his Spirit who works in him today, and he works in us as well here today, to make sure that we share in his life and in his blessings. It's a spiritual work of the Spirit that makes the Lord's Supper a means of grace when it is received in faith. We're not going to discuss that too much this morning, or that side of it. It is the real foundation of our unity, Christ, also this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's also the reality that makes the bread and the wine just as symbols, actual nourishment for our spiritual life. But I think there's also another way to look at this connection between diet and lifestyle. Because what is laid out before us this morning are symbols of body, bread and blood in the wine, the symbols of a life. A life that marks these very contours of spiritual life. Because what our Lord Jesus Christ has left us is the remembrance of his death on the cross. And as 1 John 4 describes God's plan, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, that God loved us. And he showed it by sending his Son." And John right away explains as to why God, our Heavenly Father, would have to send his Son. Well, it is because of their need for an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There was no other way to save sinners than that God would be both just, making someone pay for sin, and the justifier by making it not us, those who have to pay for our sins, but Christ, the substitute, the replacement, who bore our sin on the cross. What we have before us in Jesus Christ is the pledge of God's, the Father's, great love for us. And the exhortation to a life of love. But we can continue to expand on this. Because, of course, the Father, as we see, has shown his great love for us in sending his Son. But Jesus Christ has also lived that life of perfect love, both to his Father and to his neighbor. Just consider what it means to have his body and blood laid out as symbols of his great love for his Father. If you follow Jesus' life throughout the Gospels, you find him again and again referring back to his Father. For example, he's asked, "Lord, how do we teach us how to pray?" He says, "Well, turn to your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father." Or in the way that he fulfilled his ministry as he went around healing forgiving sins, showing love and compassion, and speaking the truth. He did that as he would say again and again, I am only doing what I've seen my Father done, and as my Father has worked, so will I work. The great love that God the Father has shown me, I'm just showing that now to this world, that they may know my Father and the kind of Father he is. And when it comes down to it, what we have before us as we consider the cross and as we consider the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, yes, it's the blood and body given over as a ransom for many, but it's also Christ's great act of love to his Father. Perfect love. Because of perfect obedience. Because Christ would go to the cross because he willed with full heart, soul, and mind to do his Father's will and what the Father had called him to do. A heart set to fulfill his Father's will to the utmost in perfect trust. A life of a perfect son offered to his loving Father. Our loving Father. To eat and drink of the body and blood of Jesus Christ is to take part in the symbols of perfect, divine, holy love. From a father to a son, from the son to his father. So as you take of the bread and of the wine, or as you look on this morning, consider the significance of the body and blood of Christ offered for you as those symbols of God's great love for us. And because of that, then also, as you come up, so we'll be asking everyone to walk up again, if they're able. Consider the path that you are walking. In the sense of that biblical language of walking as living as the path that you choose. You are walking up to the table to partake the very signs of the deepest divine love. Consider then also in your heart, are you willing, eager, to partake in the new spiritual life that is characterized by such love? Are you eager? Are you willing to partake the new spiritual life characterized by such love? Now the question is whether you'll live that life perfectly. You will not. Nobody does, and that's why we need Christ's sacrifice. But as we walk to receive the elements, are our hearts set on walking in the path set before us, that new life of Jesus Christ shown in his love for God and in his love for us? Do we partake within our hearts and in our minds that our diet and our lifestyle would match? Do we realize that this is a choice and a decision to embrace a new life? It's also then in this life that we see why Scripture also uses discipline in the church around the Lord's Supper table. That's the Heidelberg Catechism summarized. So there would be just such an incredible tension between someone partaking of the Lord's Supper, of that new life, but not living in faith, but instead in unrepentant sin. We say when it comes to our physical meals, well, you are what you eat, then how much more for this? And it cannot be that they live in tension. The tension between taking of the symbols of the nourishment of a new life and yet remaining without repentance in your old life. and dead in your sin. That's why God gives the church discipline so that everyone may come to see their need for Christ in this new life, and repentance to enter into it. You may even notice the tension in your own life. It's like we often do with when we eat and we consider our lifestyle. We're like, shouldn't have eaten that, shouldn't have done that. But in this case, it leads to repentance. And even more desire and recognition of the need for the spiritual food and drink. And then also receive with joy and thanksgiving that warm, rich invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ to eat and drink, because you need this life. You need this love, and it is truly for you. That you may live. And then let it then also lead into greater love for God. A little while ago, I was reading something that stood out to me. It was about the cross and about forgiveness and how it is something that makes Christianity so radically different from all other religions. And how it sets the tone for Christian worship. This author said, you know, just look at the simple proof. Consider, have you ever gone to any other place of worship? Maybe a mosque, maybe a Sikh temple. Maybe you've seen clips on TV or something like it. This author was like, consider how much of their worship actually includes singing. In many ways, worship among all kinds of different religions will all look very similar. There's prayer, there may be scripture reading, there may be a charitable giving, there may be all of those things. But it says, look at how an important role singing plays within the Christian church. And how could it be any other way than that Christianity is that religion that speaks so deeply of the love of God, of His forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that it's the only religion that has a true reason to sing and be joyful and to celebrate. And so consider that this morning. As this spurs you on to greater love, consider that also in your worship, in our worship this morning. That we sing, and we sing for a reason. Because we have come to know the love of God. That it is rightly that which should characterize Christian worship. That to walk this path, yes, is to make a choice, a firm decision. To walk the path of Christian joy, of celebration and thanksgiving because of God's great love. And this is then also where we see that this bread and the wine don't just provide the contours for our relationship with God. It starts to then also set the contours for our relationship with one another. That refrain in 1 John 4 again and again, brothers, let us love one another because we have known the love of God. Walk in holy love. And love not in just some vague sense, but as it goes on to say in 1 John 5, I mean, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. So also, in your interactions with one another, show your love in keeping God's commandments. Not just the negative of not murder, not steal, not lying, but positive. Showing respect, showing care. Supporting one another, living in holiness with one another, living in truth with one another, so that that way the world may know God and see Him, for we will be like Him. So as I began, people say, you are what you eat. So we often make conscious decisions about what we will or will not eat, so that we may match our lifestyle. Our diet and lifestyle may match. And the voice of our Savior this morning invites us to come and eat of the bread and wine as signs of his body and blood. Consider God's holy love for us, the riches of his grace, and consider the life of love he now to us imparts. Amen. So now stand and sing in response, Psalm 103, which I'll also play such a part in the doxology this morning. Psalm 103, stanzas 1 and 3. As we'll now proceed with the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we'll continue to read from the form for the celebration of Lord's Supper, page 604, and we'll start under that section titled Remembrance of Christ. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him, sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound, that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults, that we may never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we may be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he has taken our curse upon himself, that he may fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we may be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us, otherwise we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as his bread is broken before our eyes and his cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby, he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death, he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty, Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now to receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. And as we usually do, we'll also then end by praying the Lord's Prayer, and feel free to join in when we reach that part. Let's pray. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As this morning, we also proclaim the death of the Lord, let us also proclaim our faith in our Savior. We'll do so by rising and then singing the Apostles' Creed as put to music in hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. So at this point, also invite all those members in good standing to partake also of the elements, and as we've done multiple times before, once again you'll be invited to come up, take both elements, to return to your seat, and then wait as we read and celebrate together. And so now I'll ask the elders to come up, and then anyone is not able to come up themselves, there'll be another elder handing out the elements and bringing it to you. So ask the elders to do that now. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Coming to know such rich forgiveness, let us then also give thanks by singing. We'll sing hymn 61, stanzas 1 and 2. Let's now continue our thanksgiving with giving glory to God in the words of the doxology. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. I will lead you in a thanksgiving prayer, then we'll also bring before the Lord the matters of our congregation. So we'll give thanks that the Daniel family has arrived, and we'll also bring before the Lord the upcoming marriage of Brother Colin Vanderlinde and Burgundy Morton. And we'll also bring before the Lord some health concerns. Sister Sadie Lauder, as you could read in the To and From, was in the hospital this past week and is at home, and we give thanks for that right now, but we'll continue to have to watch her condition and take it easy for the next 3 months as well during her pregnancy. And we'll also pray for the Vandermolen family, as Danielle Vandermolen was diagnosed with colon cancer, which is quite advanced and needing basically immediate operation. And so we'll also pray for them, of course, with Chris's parents here in church, with Henry and Janet, and family, other family members. We'll pray for them during this time. So let's come before the Lord in prayer. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. And Father, as we've come to enjoy fellowship with you through your Son and that wonderful bond of the Spirit, your very love poured out into our hearts, we also bring before you our prayers as the Spirit, as your Son have taught us to pray, Abba, Father. And we give you thanks, Father, for the riches of your mercy as you, after much patience and waiting, have brought the Daniel family here safely, that you've watched over them in their travels. So we thank you that we are able now to meet in person Robin, Ruxer, Abigail, and Hosanna. Would you be with them as they settle into Vernon and a new town, a new country? Father, as you've been with them throughout these past years, continue to be with them also in the days and months ahead. Would you surround them with much care and comfort through your word, through us and your people around them, that truly they may also praise your faithfulness and grace. Father, we also pray for our brother Colin Vanderlinde and Burgundy Morton as they seek to be married also this coming week. Watch over them as they make final preparations, as they bring everything together. We ask you that you would bless them, that you would be their guide and their provider together, and that they may also with much thanksgiving look to you as the day approaches and seek to serve you as husband and wife. And Father, we bring before you also our cares and concerns, for we know that you care. Father, we pray for our sister Sadie Lauder, who once again was in the hospital this past week. We thank you that she's able to be home. But Father, it still caused a lot of anxiety and worry this week, and will continue to be a difficult time and also tough as she has to take rest in the coming months. Be with her. Watch over her health. Would you keep her and the unborn child safe and in your care as a Heavenly Father? who forms and knit every life in the womb. We also with Colin and the rest of the family, that you'd watch over them during this time, and that they too may see your hand and your care as they go from day to day. And Father, we bring before you also that a difficult diagnosis that the Vandermolen family received this past week. Father, we are thankful that the wheels are in motion, that Danielle is able to be prepared for an operation in early December. Would you bless all of that? Also, during this time, would you continue to grant them much peace and comfort as you are the Father who directs and controls all things, and above all is the one who has poured out a wonderful love in your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with the extended family as well as they walk along with Chris and Danielle and the family. Would you give them also your word and comfort to guide them, and a full trust also in your care. Also, in the next couple of weeks, as there are still many questions as to how advanced is it and what will this all mean, Father, would you grant clarity, much wisdom to the doctors that they may be able to diagnose clearly, come up with a good plan, and that throughout it all, you may be the one who as the great physician, takes care, yes, of all of our illnesses and diseases. And so we look to you. Today as well, we're full of thanksgiving, full of hope, and full of joy as we've come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and taste and see that you are good. And so we pray in Christ's name alone. Amen. So now also the opportunity to show love and care for one another in the collection, which will be for the needy this morning. And then after that, we'll stand and sing one of the new hymns, Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer, 3 stanzas, and we'll sing all 3. As you go from here, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.